name of God, of the Eman, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Center and circumference. A portion of the poem by Yeats. Turning and turning in the widening gyre, the falcon can no longer hear the falconer. Things fall apart. The center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dim tide of destruction is everywhere loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best among us lack all conviction, while the worst among us are full of passionate intensity. The poet Yeats wrote this poem right after World War I, a century ago, trying to speak to the disaster, the industrial destruction, the way in which the world had known itself. Everything was falling apart. That was the first lost generation. Not just the soldiers, their families, the society. What are we doing here? The center no longer holds. Where do we belong? Perhaps some of you have felt that way these days. Might it have even gotten worse? Those of goodwill lack spines, while the worst among us are filled with passionate intensity. The strangest thing about us human beings is that in the midst of times of trauma and difficulty, we turn to the artificial and the superficial. We invest our money and time and energy in things that just don't matter in order to avoid the real crises of the times and what really needs to be done and the real crisis going on in our earth. Take me away from here. Just take me away. Help me out with this. Do caterpillars fear crawling into their cocoons? I just don't know for sure. Even though they've designed it, when you start to crawl inside, are you afraid of what might come out the other side? Of course, they may not even know there is another side, right? And who could possibly explain to a caterpillar that when you emerge, friend, on the other side, you will fly. And your myriad feet need never touch the ground again. The work of Jesus is nourishing our intimacy with God and our community with one another. He gave everything, every ounce of his being, his life, his passion, his joy, his dedication, so that we might know we are intimately and forever the beloved of God. You belong, you belong, you belong to life, to love, to now. You are God's beloved. What does it take to get through? You can deny it, resist it, fight it, refuse to believe it. Christ! Look under death itself to persuade us that we're loved and we belong here and we belong to one another. We'll do whatever it takes, because when people know they're loved, then we begin to create community, not only with one another, but beyond and beyond. There's no satisfaction till all of us know we belong to the love. That's why Paul is so excited in this Colossians verse this morning. Friend, have you forgotten that we've already died? What? That's the gift of baptism. We have already died. That's what in baptism we have mystically entered into Christ's death, so we might experience that resurrecting love. And now our lives are hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, Paul pleads with us to aspire for the beyond. Aspire for what is rich and deep and true. Aspire for that wisdom that comes from within. Don't live merely in the trappings of depression in this world and its materialistic addiction. Live for the beyond. Pay attention. I think the only real sign of the resurrection is that the people who saw the risen Christ were persuaded that life is worth living. How many folks like that do you meet every week? At least one day of the year, you're going to hear. You didn't do a thing to get here. You survived all kinds of stuff. You know the scenarios. You know the games. Let us plot on. We'll cope. Life is worth living. That's the gospel. Trying to energize us to the truth and the beauty of that and who we are. But we are creatures who live in the shadows of the darkness of the valley of the shadow of death. I'm gonna make it. All the way to my cocoon. And you can't stop me. Because that's as good as it gets. We say in our hallucinatory minds, the resurrection is too much for us. Not because it's unclear or we don't understand what it's about. That can't be. It's too much. It's too bright. It's too light. It's too strong. It's too overwhelming. The resurrection insists that we are beloved forever. The resurrection insists that it is beginning now. Right here. Inside of the mounds of death and despair that surround us, the destruction and disaster, the hopelessness, the fears, the the illness, the disease, the sorrows, right here. Resurrection is beginning inside this world which trashes women. Here, Iran, Ukraine, this world which despoils the earth and acts like, oh well, what can we do about it? Right here, this world which worships our sacred gods. Which are more precious than our own children. And we want to object to this resurrection. Resurrection insists that those who have died into Christ have died to all that is artificial and superficial nonsense. We will not waste our lives. As it insists that we, whose lives are now hidden with Christ in God, will live for what is real and what matters. Resurrection is God's protest against death and those who worship death and those who work for death. Resurrection is God's passion for life. Resurrecting faith would have us dance for that divine spirit who is always on the move, recreating life here and now in every possible way. To restore that center which seems so shattered, resurrecting hope invites us to live in that passion for life that all can be changed and healed and transformed and made new, including us. And are living for the sake of the world. My dear caterpillars, it's time to exit the cocoon, to rise up to those longings and callings of your own hearts. Rise up. Are you ready? Are you ready? Will you rise up to the beauty which has been promised us by a light so bright we can't even see ourselves? Rise up, for Christ has risen.
Christ has risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Christ is rising.
Rising indeed. Hallelujah.
We are rising.